League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
What a good tune. What a good tune to get us underway in this hour. It is the QPR fan show for the next half an hour between 10 and 10.30. And we'll be reacting to QPR's defeat at the weekend. Is it pulling them closer and closer to the relegation battle? They're 9 points above the relegation zone. Will they manage to save themselves, or will they find themselves in a relegation scrap towards the end of the season? We'll be looking back at that game, also looking at the upcoming fixtures. We've got a full fixture list in midweek coming up this week in the Championship, so we'll be looking ahead to their game away at Swansea tomorrow night. Remember, if you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in touch with us QPR fans for the next half an hour between 10 and 10.30. So as I said, we'll be looking back at the weekend's game where QPR went down 2-0 away at Huddersfield Town. It just means maybe the worry is increasing for QPR fans. I'm delighted to say we're joined by two very special guests this evening. Not just one QPR fan, but we're joined by two. James Norris and Richard Blackburn join me this evening. Thank you very much to both of you for your time this evening. I'll start with you, James. Let's look back then at the Huddersfield game, 2-0 away from home, at a side in and around QPR. What was your instant reaction to that defeat away at Huddersfield?
I think the way things are going at the moment, I think pretty much every Arse Flat fan saw it coming. I think probably every Arse fan would have predicted, a defeat by a couple of goals. It's a very flat feeling at the moment. Obviously, the way that we handled the whole transfer window was embarrassing. So, morale's low. I think morale's low throughout the club. And, Huddersfield are scrapping for the points. They're hungry. Rangers were looking a little bit comfortable. But, we're in a scrap. No question about it. We're in a scrap. And if we find ourselves, going to the last game I think the owners have only got themselves to blame. They've handled this whole thing horrendously.
So do you think, Richard, that we heard what James was saying there about being in a scrap now? As I mentioned at the top there, QPR still 9 points above the relegation zone, but is it becoming a more and more realistic threat that QPR are being sucked into this relegation battle?
Yeah, I mean, 9 points clear is quite comfortable at the moment. I don't think we're in one at the moment, but like James says, we're at risk of being sucked into one at the moment. Stoke on Saturday is our biggest game. It's like a cup final for us. That is the key of whether we will be sucked into one or not. It's as simple as that. 9 points sounds great, but by Sunday it could be as little as three. And that's the facts. I do, however, think we will be safe because there are three worse teams than us in the league. But it's never nice to be down there because all it takes is one or two freak results and you do get sucked into it or worse.
Sorry to cut into you there, Richard. Looking at some of the comments that Mark Warburton made after the game, he said, "You've got to take your chances, and I sound like a broken record at the moment. We looked a very good team in the first half. We were dominant and moved the ball well, but we didn't put it away. We were just a little bit toothless." James, is that a fair reflection of the game, that it was a case of QPR not being clinical when the chances came?
Absolutely. Let's get one thing straight here, Mark Warburton can only work with what he's got. He wasn't given any budget. There's a mysterious £5 million that seems to have disappeared. We couldn't put a bid in for Wells, but we had a bid turned down for £5 million for the Aberdeen centre-back in the summer. So that money wasn't available in the summer. So where's that money to go and get your striker? If you haven't got a striker that's going to put the sizes away, You know, we had no plan B, letting Mackie Wells go. And, you know, anybody with half a footballing brain could see that we needed a centre-back. You know, if we'd replaced Wells or gone in earlier in the window and secured Wells, got a centre-back, we'd be pushing for the playoffs now, not in a relegation scrap. And if the owners aren't that, you know, if they aren't sensible enough to see that, you know, it's looking very doom and gloom at the moment.
When QPR, you mentioned there about early in the season, had they been proactive and got Naki Wells, we'll touch on him in just a second. But you mentioned early doors. QPR, a bit like Charleston, were in really, really good form early doors in the season, and it has fallen away. At that point, was there chat amongst QPR fans that actually they could push for a top six spot, or was there a bit more realism from a lot of QPR fans that wasn't necessarily where they should be?
No, it should have been. I mean, if you look at the way they were playing earlier in the season, we probably didn't even have as many points on board as we should have done. We were dominating. You know, we dominated nearly every game, even the early defeats, Bristol City away, Swansea at home. We massively dominated the games. The squad was a little bit experienced. People were loving what they were seeing. You know, the Mark Warburton style of football has been, you know, pretty awesome. But we were letting in silly goals. We were letting in soft goals. You know, we were crying out for a centre-back. Everybody was hoping, and then we fell away a little bit over Christmas. But even the games over Christmas, you know, when we lost to Hull, we lost to Reading, we didn't deserve to lose these games. You know, if we'd have had the centre back that we needed, we'd have probably, you know, maybe got maximum points. So, you know, to not get a centre back and then let a striker go without any, you know, without any backup, it's just crazy business.
I'm assuming that QPR fans in the first half of the season loved hearing the name Naki Wells. Now it might be very, very different after he's now signed for Bristol City. What's your view on this, Richard? It must be so annoying that if they'd been proactive, and that's the sense I get from QPR fans, that had QPR fans, but QPR board, been proactive, they'd have got their man, they'd have secured a guy who was in really good form for them first half of the season. Are you fed up every time you hear Naki Wells' name mentioned now?
Yeah, it does sound like a broken record at the moment, but I think James hit the nail on the head. You know, I don't think we could justifiably pay the money for what they wanted, 5 to 7 million, at this stage of the season. I understand what you're saying. If we had the money for the centre back, but the centre back was younger, he had sell on. Naki doesn't have that. But what we could have done and been proactive about is, cause let's be honest, when we took him last season, not a lot of teams wanted him. He did well for us in a poor team, and then there was suddenly a bit more interest, and we managed to get him back on loan. Now, what I don't get is, why didn't we just get this deal where, you know, we loan him, but we have the option to buy? Why didn't they put that in there? Because we could have got a hell of a better deal. Because, you know, he didn't score too many. He scored quite a few goals for us, but not the 15 by Christmas. You know, we could have got, I reckon, a bargain of 3.5 million to 4 million, which is fine, if we'd had that clause in there, the option to buy by January.
Do you think if QPR managed to keep hold of him and maybe made it a permanent deal, that the season would look very different at this moment in time, that QPR would be a lot higher up the table? Or is that far too simplistic to just be suggesting that just one player would have made a huge amount of difference?
I think the other thing that James actually hit the nail on the head was the centre-back issue. I mean, I have no issues with Tony going. He wasn't the answer to what we needed. But it all comes from the back. You know, if you're giving away goals left, right and centre, then you're never going to win the games. And regardless of how many you score, like I said last time, we went to Barnsley, we shipped 5, we scored 3. You score 3 away from home, you should win. Simple as that. You should never lose a game scoring 3 away from home. However, it comes, teams now, you look at the beginning of the season, teams didn't know what to expect from us. We came out the blocks flying. You know, Luton tried to attack us. We were 3-0 up within inside 25 minutes. All right, didn't quite go to plan. We almost lost it, almost drew it. We won 3-2. You know, and that was the start of the season. And then teams start getting wise to us and go, actually, let's just sit back and wait for them to make a mistake. That's all they're doing now. And you look at it, Huddersfield did the same thing. They just waited for us to make that simple mistake, give them that one chance, which it's like charity watching us. You know we're going to give them a chance. They just sit back. And the only way that we play now, actually break teams down, is we pull them out of position and play the football on the ground. But we can't do that because teams are sitting back and waiting for us to make a mistake. And I think the biggest impact has, I probably sound mad saying this, but Naki going isn't what's changed the season. It's not bringing in that solid centre-back that we need. You know, Tony going as gate, big miss. Not a big miss at all. He's not the style of what we're looking for. He doesn't look comfortable. All right, he can pull a pinger out from anywhere, but he also misses a lot more than he can put through. But, you know, that's where it comes from. And then we start conceding soft goals, stupid goals, as Mark Warburton calls them. and then it just knocks the confidence throughout the team. And then they go, well, why are we pressing? Because we're just going to concede. And it, when you've got young players, that does happen. It drop, their heads drop, and that's where the problem comes from. I don't think Naki going is as big a miss as a pivotal role of, oh, we would have been pushing for playoffs if we had him. If we had him and we had a centre-back, different story.
You meant
just that one player wouldn't be a turnaround.
You mentioned there about the defence, and this must be quite an alarming statistic, James. 56 goals conceded. Only the bottom two have conceded more goals this season. So does that add to this narrative that it's all well and good talking about Naki Wells and losing him and losing the goals that he might have scored, but actually QPR's biggest concern, and you look at the side that's bottom of the table, Luton, 66 goals conceded, that's a ridiculous number. That's going to send them down. For QPR, rather than thinking about in the attacking area replacing goals from Naki Wells, they need to actually think about stopping the goals going in their own nets.
Absolutely. We had a couple of games earlier in the season. If we'd have won, we'd have gone top. If we'd have won, we'd have gone second. But it was our ridiculous defending. That was absolutely obvious. You know, everybody expected us to be in a defender. I agree what you're saying. Naki isn't the problem in terms of changing the season round. But what I think it did, I think it changed the whole outlook of the club. I think once Naki didn't get signed or a placement wasn't seen, I think the whole place started to feel a bit of doom and gloom. So I agree on the pitch, it's maybe not as pivotal, but I think in terms of morale across the whole club, it has been a big, somebody that scored all those goals is then gone. So there's nobody that takes their place. The defensive issue has been there since August. That was a given that we were going to, well, everybody just assumed they put it right in January. The fact that was ignored and other defenders were allowed to leave, and then the Naki situation, it just, the whole thing is chaos. It's really left a bit of taste amongst most of the fans.
Richard, it's four straight defeats now for QPR. Do you think the fact they're getting closer and closer to the relegation zone, is that having a psychological impact on QPR and that's weighing heavy on their shoulders? Or is the psychology of it all irrelevant to these games that the QPR have lost, that actually it's on the pitch where they are failing?
I think, like James says, there is an atmosphere around the club that is building. There is kind of that nervousness building, and you can see it at the stadium. You know, when we give the ball away, there's a lot of groans from the fans, and that will filter down. But I think the other thing to remember, nobody, we changed 15 players in the summer, spent £50,000. Nobody expected us to go up. For me, top half of the table would have been a great result. When you make that many changes, and it did need it, because last year we were woeful. I went to Norwich away, and it was embarrassing. There was no effort on the pitch. It was one of the worst games I've watched. And, we started the season off well. There was that expectation. Now everyone started looking, going, because at the beginning of the season, before we started, everyone was going, we might stay up and then we can build next year. We're on a fantastic run. And then I think people started getting ahead of themselves, going, we're going to get the playoffs. We could get the automatic. Because there was games where we could get first or second. And we did a lead and we bottled it. And we didn't get there. Now we started dropping off and that form is completely scrapped. I think it has now filtered down from the fans, because we try and play that way that Mark wants us to play. But teams, because we let goals in, just sit back and let us do it, and it becomes frustrating. And then that frustration builds onto the pitch. The players try and do things they shouldn't try and do, like stupid passes, like we saw last home game where Grant Hall tried to do a pinger across the pitch, gave it away, left us out of shape, left us vulnerable. And that's what they just wait for now. And that atmosphere is now building at the club.
We'll continue to talk all things QPR. They've got an away game tomorrow night, away at Swansea, looking to arrest that poor run of form. Many thanks to James Norris, who's had to leave us this time. So many thanks to James for joining us for the first quarter of an hour. Richard is going to continue with us for the next section. And as I said, we'll be previewing a big game away at Swansea City tomorrow night.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
Welcome back to the QPR Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 10:30. We were joined by James Morris and Richard Blackburn, the first section. Richard will continue on with us until 10:30. Many thanks to you, Richard, for doing that. We've talked about the game on the weekend. Let's look ahead to the game coming up in midweek. They're away at Swansea tomorrow night. What are you thinking going into this one? Are you rather worried about it, considering QPR's form? Are you thinking, actually, yeah, that they can go away to Swansea and get something?
I think, you know, the form book dictates itself, doesn't it? You know, we haven't played well, but ultimately there needs to be a change in form. Essentially, every team has the drop in form, but then you bounce back, and I'm hoping this is our turning point where actually we start to pick up points again. I don't know whether that's the optimistic QPR fan within me. You know, I always try and look for the bright side, but I think realistically, a point would be a good result there.
One man I wanted to get your views on, Richard. Interesting reading an article today on Football League World. It says QPR must ensure this player starts in midweek to stop terrible run, and that's Ryan Manning. He's had a lot of plaudits in recent months, been linked with Premier League side Wolverhampton Wanderers before the January transfer window opened. How important could he be in this game, and do you think he must start, in agreement with this article, to stop QPR's terrible run?
No, I don't agree with that at all. You know, I think you look at a back three, Wallace is the answer. You can't put Manning next to him because they don't play well together. If you want to go in a back four, Wallace is the best left back. Manning defensively is poor. Brentford, he cost us two goals. Simple as that. I think we tried to go back to form of using Manning as a left back, and he cost us two goals. He went down, tried to go down easily for a free kick, win a free kick like he always does. It didn't work. End up giving them a free kick, which won the first one. So I don't think he is the answer. For me personally, I prefer watching Wallace. I understand he gave away the penalty against Huddersfield. That wasn't a penalty, it was a dive. He makes some crucial tackles. He's brave, he's a leader. And for me, Manning's not the answer to stop the rut. I think, if anything, if you want to look at defensive change, Rangel for Kane's the biggest one. I've always tried to like Kane. Attacking-wise, really good. Defensively, a lot left to be desired. And if you want to be... your defence is the problem, you sort the defensive side out, and that means bringing Rangel back in. Simple as that. That's the change you've got to make.
We've had a call in this evening. Remember, if you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 70 20 558 if you want to share your views. Addy, the QPR fan, has done so. Addy, not great form for QPR at the moment. They head to Swansea tomorrow night. What are your views going into that one? Are you worried off the back of some pretty alarming form of late?
Yeah, of course I am. You know, because, I mean, I agree with what you said in the first hour of the programme. The club's, you know, it's been badly wrong from top to bottom. You know, because I'm not advocating that Mark Warburton should go. But I think somebody like Chris Hughton would be a fantastic fit for us because his team can defend. As I see, say, with everything else, we're going in the midfield and up front. We'll be well in the playoff. We might be challenging, we might be contending. I'm not blaming Mark Warburton for all everything, but it's obviously it's clear his team can't defend. You know, and you see, people like Les Ferdinand and Chris Lampy, I don't know what purpose they serve it there. I don't know what purpose, because, I mean, there's no money being generated or Phil Hughes, or whatever his name is, you know, the chief executive. So I don't know the purpose. They're just making a complete mess. As he said, the lucky words was available. We could have got it for 2.5 million. You know, everything just bad out there. It's just, the club has just been totally been management. Ever since he took over from Ecclestone and Flavio Bartori, it just because if they were in charge, we wouldn't have got relegated to the championship. They would not, because they, when the danger is there, they act. As simple as that. And then you have to manage management. They were bringing the right players. And Gareth Ainsworth was in charge briefly. He should have been given the job 2-3 seasons ago. So it's completely wrong. You know, from the management, from the team management level, yeah, defence is bad. Yeah, we know that. That's because the defence has not been coached properly.
Thank you very much for calling us this evening, Addy. You heard his view there. Call us on 0208 70 20 558 if you want to share your views like Addy did there. Richard, what do you make of that? I think he mentioned Chris Hughton's name there as a guy he'd like to come in to sort out the defence. We've talked about the alarming number of goals that QPR have conceded this season. What do you make of that? Do you reckon Warburton needs to be under a bit more scrutiny, and maybe QPR should be looking out for a new manager that will sort out the defence?
Nah, not at all. Any sane QPR fan, in my eyes, should be back in Warburton. They should not be asking for him to leave. You know, he's had a massive task in the summer, bringing 15 players in. You know, he all right, Grant, he brought 15 players in, but he can only play with the defence that he's got, and he spent £50,000. That's what we got to remember. You know, in the summer we spent £50,000. You can only get so much talent for £50,000, and that was on one player, in Kelly. You know, the defence, Grant Hall. You know, the defence is a problem, but it's more individual faults that's the problem. And I don't think any manager in the world you could bring in can coach that team how to defend properly with the players they've got. You know, there's too many individuals that make too many individual mistakes. If you look at the first goal on the weekend, again, it was poor marking in the box. You know, we've got Masterson marking the edge of the 6-yard box, marking nobody. There's a player running in, and then you've got Grant Hall 2 metres away, not even goal side of the striker that scores. You know, you could have any defensive coach in the world. That's basics. You get goal side of your man. If you don't know that as a professional footballer, you're not a defender. It's as brutal as that. You know, these guys are getting paid thousands a week. It's basic Sunday league level you talk. Get goal side of your man. I mean, people are saying bring Warnock in as a defensive coach. What's he going to improve there? You know, that fault there, he's not goal side. That's not the manager's fault.
In terms of team news, Richard, for tomorrow night, when they go to Swansea, interesting to see some of the suggestions as to any changes that Mark Warburton might look to make. Suggestion is Jack Clark, who's on loan from Spurs. He was on loan back at his original club, Leeds, early in the season, was recalled, has been sent on loan to QPR. Maybe Mark Warburton considering giving him a first start to try and shake up the attack. Do you think that'd be a wise move to bring Jack Clark in from the start?
Yeah, I mean, he did start against Wednesday in the Cup, so it'd be his first league start. But in the Cup, he was tired. He was knackered. You could tell that. He wasn't match fit. He wasn't match sharp. You know, we came on the last home game for the last 10, 15 minutes against Bristol when we were pushing, and he looked sharp. He looked alive. And I don't see a problem at the moment. You know, if something isn't working, we need to change. You know, people are going, we've scored these many goals. Yeah, that's great. We haven't scored last game against Huddersfield. We should have. You know, I love him. Really good player. He did best when he came out of the squad for a couple of weeks and then went back in. Let's drop him, put Clark on there, give Clark a go, and then it creates that competition again I'm not guaranteed a start. I need to prove myself. I need to do it. I need to up my game. So let's give Clark a go, drop Chair potentially attacking-wise, and then it also means you've got that option of Chair on the bench. You know, that's the attacking move you can make. You know, in terms of strikers, Hugill or Ota, you probably got to stick with Hugill still. Because he's proven it this season that he has scored goals. And then you can bring Ote on. I want to see Ote develop at the club. But yeah, attacking-wise, I think that's the biggest one there is Clark. He does look dangerous.
In the last 7 league matches between the two sides, QPR have lost 5 of those 7. They've won just 1 of their last 11 away league matches in Wales, losing the last 3 in a row. Richard, those are not the sort of statistics that you want to be hearing. Does that kind of fill you with a little bit more negativity going into this game, or do you look at it thinking, well, bad runs are there to be ended?
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, before last season, we hadn't won at Forest for 50-odd years, and we did it. So, I mean, 7 games is nothing really, is it, compared to that? You know, you've got to win eventually, so I think history doesn't really come into it. Like, you can talk about your last 5 games in terms of form, but last 7 games we haven't won in Wales, it's irrelevant, isn't it? You know, anything happened today, you know, we lost to Cardiff. We were the better team, again, but we lost. You know, and that was the perfect Neil Warnock side. He knew what we were going to do. He knew what we were going to make mistakes. So he just sat his team back, and it was the most boring game of football to watch because that team just stood behind the ball. You know, whilst we attacked, made a mistake, they pounced on it. You know, and that's what the stats can be misleading. You know, we lost, but we weren't the worst team on that pitch. We were the better team, but we lost. So the stats are misleading.
And just finally then, Richard, in terms of a prediction for tomorrow night, what are you looking at?
I've got to go with a 2-2 draw. I think a point would be a good result. And let's be honest, we're not going to keep a clean sheet. So, yeah, it's going to go be 2-2 for me.
Many thanks to you, Richard, for joining us this evening. That was Richard Blackburn talking about what's been a pretty poor run for QPR, 4 straight defeats for them. We mentioned 56 goals conceded this season. Only the bottom 2 in the Championship have conceded more goals this season. some tough games coming up. Away at Swansea tomorrow night, a home to Stoke, which is a game in and around them in the Championship, away at Nottingham Forest, right up there in the Championship, and at home against Derby. So not the easiest of four games coming up, but one of the big things there Richard emphasised was the defensive issues. They need to sort them out if they're going to start winning games, and they can't be shipping and conceding as many goals as they have done. So many thanks to James Norris and Richard Blackburn for the last half an hour. Obviously, the QPR fan show will be back same time next week, 10 till 10:30. Remember, you can get in touch with us like Addy did earlier in this section. Call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us. As I said, the QPR fan show will be back same time next week, 10 till 10:30 on Monday night. But up next between 10:30 and 11, it will be time for the Luton fan show.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.